Cool.
Wonderful. Okay. So this is Ivan with a Y.
Yeah.
Saka?
Yeah, it's actually pronounced like that.
Okay, great. Yeah. Ivan Saka. And he's going to talk, like, I find the title of this talk really amazing. The title of this talk is Tips and Tricks to Fix Your Knicks, and it's like so poetic. So
yeah, I was planning to say it one last time for the comical effect, but yeah.
Sorry, no. I'm not gonna say anything anymore. I'm gonna leave you the stage. A round of applause, please, for Ivan and our last talk for today. Go ahead.
Yeah. So hello everyone and welcome in Tips and Tricks to Fix Your Knicks. I said it. The truth is, I already gave that talk a couple of months ago in French, in Capitole du Libre, in Toulouse, and it was totally semi-improvised, and this is a revised version of it that was a bit shrunk to fit the dev room schedule, because that's the last talk of the day. And the motivation behind this talk is, I guess that's true for every technology, there is stuff that are super obvious for people used to the thing. Here, we're talking about Knicks, that are super cryptic to the newcomers. And in Knicks, if you copy-paste some snippet from the official wiki into your configuration, most of the time it works, it's magic, it's super nice, but sometimes it breaks, and when it breaks, it's terrible. And I feel that's one of the things where it's true with Knicks, that there are things that's obvious for some people that are not for those. So maybe some of you will not learn anything new, and maybe some of you will, and that's my hope. And in the end, there are a few links, because it's a bit too short to make a lot of demo, and it's not exhaustive. If you have more idea, we can discuss the hallway track or etc. I will try at some point to make that into, I don't know, a wiki update, a blog post, something like that. Anyway, I'm Yvan. I heard first about Knicks, I guess, a decade ago, but I really start to use it, like daily driving it, while it was the pandemic, the last one. We are in FOSDEM, so that's the best spot to catch the last cool viruses. Knicks is paying my rent every month, just Knicks. So it's a super cool technology. What we'll talk about today is split into two different parts that are really the two parts that explain how Knicks work, which is first, you're evaluating a bunch of Knicks code to producing derivation file, and then you're actually realizing, building those derivation file into actual binary script or whatever outputs. And those two separated steps are actually really present in Knicks, in forks like Leaks, in even Geeks. All are the same with that. And depending if your error is happening in the first or second stage of this process, it's really a different experience. So first, the obvious things, debugging expression, first part. Knicks is a really cool language. Personally, I like the syntax. I think it's a pretty decent language. There is really weird corner case, but it's not the point of this talk. But there is issue with Knicks. First, it's a really dynamical and language where you can do a lot of things that will not be possible in more static language, indeed. And it's functional. And functional language have a feature which I personally find really cool, and that is by default for every function, that is there is partial application, which means that if you forgot an argument to your function, it will work. It will just raise an error way later in your program, in your expression, which is actually bad because the stack trace will not show you the place where you made the error, actually, but somewhere totally different. And six, that's a bit tricky issue to work with. That's what I just say. The stack trace is often bad. My immediate advice for that is, if you have the choice to not use several arguments for a function, if you're crafting a next piece of code, and you can rather make a function that take an attribute set rather than several named argument, a positional argument, sorry. Choose the attribute set, at least if you forgot an item, you will have a proper error in the right place. Use only a function that takes several arguments, which is a function that takes function, like functional programming, only when you really need it, not just for fun. And I made runtime types libraries that catch this problem, and no, that's not. This is an offline copy of my website. I presented 2 years ago at FOSDEM, so not really interesting, but yeah, self-advertising. A lot of schemes are similar mechanism built in, so yeah. Next things is often when you start with Nix, you're like, it's just a configuration language, so I do not have to really tune my editor like it's a real programming language. But actually, you should really do that. Use a language server protocol. Use stuff like pre-commit or pre-push hooks, all these kind of things. There's a lot of static analyzer for Nix, like deadnix, etc. They really make your experience way better because it's really easy to, I don't know, forget a parenthesis is Nix, and you really have no clue. And having a cool editor really helps you. That's obvious, but worth saying. And next, there is a really cool REPL in Nix that's, when I start using it to debug my problem interactively, it really changed my life. And I think everyone should do that. And that will be the point of the first demo. And the next thing is when you ask someone to debug a Nix script for a while, I mean for more than 20 years, the answer was use Trace, which is a bit bad. And no, it's not that new, but no, we have a debugger. And so I will just demo it because I think that's a really cool feature that also a lot of people are not aware it exists. So that's demo time. So I have two terminal window. On the top, it's some Nix expression, really simple. All my variables start with a Z because it will be shown in the end of all variable in my REPL, if that's convenient. And I have the REPL, and there is thing like I can load a Nix expression. It's called Nix REPL demo. Yeah, I load it. I load only one variable, which is the final variable, ZZZC. I can evaluate this value with 42. It's super interesting. I can trace. And trace, it's super obvious if you ever used functional programming. And if not, I'm really sorry for you. Built-in trace takes two arguments, of course. The first one is what will be traced, and the second one will be what built-in trace will return as a value. And those two things could be two different numbers. Most of the time, what I do is I do built-in trace XX, and I define X as the thing I want both to return and both to evaluate. This is also the only way to do logs. When you want to do logs, logs have to return a value, and you have to ask for this value for the logs to be printed. I will demonstrate that just in a moment. So I reload my file. And if I do ZC, no, I have a trace and I have a result. But you know, maybe if you're coming from Haskell, it's like, is there a tank or is there a value that have been computed? If I re-ask for ZC, I don't have the trace anymore. I just have the trace at the time when I ask for ZB, only one time. So language is lazy. It's maybe obvious, it's maybe not. And the REPL is a really good way to have a good understanding of that. Then I want to show off the new things that is called. Oops, sorry. The new thing that is called, and I have a LSP. It's super convenient. Between breaks, so I have a breakpoint, and I have. I don't need built-in actually. Thank you, LSP. If I reload and I do Z let's see, it's just doing no things. Maybe I can, I don't know, close and relaunch the RAPL and retry. It's not working. Why? Because it's obvious I have to use the debugger optional flag, because if you don't use it, the debugger is not enabled by default, which is great, which is sometimes a bit annoying when your next command is called deep into some scripting or CI. Anyway, no, I have a debugger. And if I do, I load my file, I compute ZC. No, I have breakpoint. And if I check, no, I have access to ZA and B. Okay, I have both value. And I have the same thing. First time I have the trace, second time note. If I do continue, I don't know my command. C, yes, it's continue. I have the result, and now you see I add the result without the trace because ZB was already compute. So yeah, you got that understanding. It's really, really, really handy to use the RAPL, to use this kind of buildings, to use the debugger, to understand actually how an expression is evaluated and to not be blind. I really highly recommend it. And yeah, that was a short demo about it. And the second part is debugging builds. So when you successfully evaluated your world next expression, you produce derivation file. I know you're building those derivation file inside the sandbox. Those demo are a bit hard to run without a reliable internet connection, and I was a bit afraid by force them internet connection. So it's everything is pre-recorded. So what is the problem? The problem is this slide is wrong. No, because Nix actually is incremental. There is an atomic measure in Nix, which is derivation. If you already build a derivation, you will not rebuild the exact derivation. So you can make your Nix builds more incremental by making more derivation. More zero derivation, more you will not rebuild everything each time. But inside the derivation, if you have an issue, you will always rebuild the whole script inside the derivation, inside the sandbox from scratch. And that's not interactive at all. If you used to Docker, you're like, oh, I will spawn a shell in my Docker and just mess everything. You can't do that easily with Nix for obvious reason. Maybe not so obvious, but yeah, that's something that often newcomers are really frustrated with, because your feedback loop is super slow. And also, then another problem, I didn't wrote it on the slide, but Nix is actually, when you're running, building a lot of derivation in parallel, in arbitrary order. So sometimes you have an issue, you run your command, you don't have the same error message because it just fail at another place and it will not, never, I mean, that's distributed system, but it don't fail or reliably when there is more than one thing to fix. And sometimes it's really hard to see what's the path between what you're actually trying to do and what is the derivations that are failing. So my first advice is to use something else than the default Nix output, which is quite hard to read. You have the dash L option, L caps. But anyway, Nix output monitor is really great. And there is a modified version of it that's even use it to do things more in parallel, but it's not the point of this talk. It give you a tree, I guess. I have something, Nix tree, but I will show that later. Askinema play. Pre-record, Nix output monitor. Yeah, so the Nix output monitor outputs looks like that. You have this kind of things where you have the normal Nix LCAPS output, but you see at some point it will appear some dependency graph where you see what you are actually building. Maybe that's not the best example. It shows some kind of tree when you can see, okay, I'm building this derivation because it needs this derivation, et cetera, et cetera. It's really a great tool. And it's really easy to use. You just replace Nix by num in your command line. Please use it. It's not new, but yeah, use that tool. Yeah, what's next? It's super easy to inspect derivation to actually see what's inside. And it's super nice to understand what's the relationship between two derivations. You have y depends, and you have Nick's tree for that. So y depend gives you this kind of outputs, and Nick's tree, too much window. Nick's tree gives you something like that. Here I'm inspecting the developer shell of my, will it work, of the environment I used to build the slide. Yeah, it's super fast. We are almost there. And I'm out of time. So just show really quickly, and then the talk is finished. So yeah, my derivation is super small. It's just 6 GB to build slides. Pretty reasonable. I can see use text live, what's text space in text live. And you can see there is maybe stuff you can remove from your derivations kind of thing. So yeah, blah, blah, blah. And there's two other things I didn't have the time to show. The first one is something called breakpoint out, and you can basically go interactively inside your derivation environment and test everything. And you can also write init test for your Nix code. There is two links in the slides that will be online. This is this course I suppose that explain how to use. There is other resources of to use breakpoint hook. And there's really old Twig blog post, quite old, that explain how to write unit test for Unix expression, which is something I don't see a lot of people doing, but I think it's nice to do. And that's all. Thank you.
All right, so we are out of time, so we don't really have time for Q&A anymore, but this was great talk. I think it's really important for people to get to know these tools, because it's really hard to get started with Nix, and knowing that stuff really does help. So thank you very much for the talk. Thank you very much for everyone who took part in this in some way. It was a lot of fun. Maybe we'll see you at the booth tomorrow or something. Hopefully people will have good conversations following this, and have a nice evening and enjoy the rest of FOSDEM. Thank you. Bye.